Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Shollycast. I'm Hydro, I'm with Dr. X, and in this episode, we have a very special guest, Rainbow Kitty. How are you, Rainbow Kitty?
I see.
Very excited, I can tell.
I'm good. Tired. I'm a nervous wreck.
Well, that's okay.
Well, it's all right. One of the reasons why we came up with this podcast is to allow guests like a comfortable environment where they can really talk about anything they want, and I feel like Dr. X and I have facilitated that. We've brought guests on who want to talk about like a specific ship, or they want to talk about anime or video games, or really anything. But the first thing we wanted to ask you was, how did you get into Lolly and Shota, or Lolly or Shota?
Ooh. Okay, so there's actually like two points in my life where, because there was a time when I like was into it. So middle school, I was watching this anime movie type thing on Crunchyroll, like. Not safe for work. It was totally like safe for work, you know? It was nothing like dirty or anything. It was Wolf Children. And it was whenever like they shifted from like puppy to baby, and I was like, oh God, oh fuck, why am I attracted to that? Why do I wanna see porn of this? And then I went and looked up porn of it. And I was like, wait, I like this. Oh my God, I like this. Holy shit. And that's where I discovered masturbation, too. No, I'm joking. But that was the first point. And then I kind of, like, forgot about it for, like, the longest time. And then I turned 18, and I was on this app called Meet Me. And I was, like, I met this older guy, and he was, like, really infatuated with a Vocaloid called Oliver. And it kind of made me get into Shotokan again. And Shotokan was really like what I was into for like the longest time. I even was an editor for Yaoi Haven Reborn on the Shota like mangas. Like I would find Shota mangas and like put them up there and stuff. So Shota was like a real big part of my life there for a minute. I got into Lolly whenever I started doing the Lolly voices, and I started voice acting, and that's how I got here to where I am today, honestly. That and kind of like, you know, ruining my streaming career by saying I wanted to suck a toddler cock. Yeah, apparently you can't say that on Twitch.
You can say that here. You
can say that here and say it proudly. As long as it's fictional, of course.
Fictional, yes. Fictional toddler cock. No real kids. Kids are annoying.
So that's interesting how you started off, like, because it's so funny, every single guest that we have asked about this, pretty much they always have said the same thing, that it kind of started off when they were much younger and they either watched some kind of show or got into some kind of character and then just really got attached to them and really liked it, and then got curious about if there was any lewd stuff of them, and then it just kind of grew from there. But yours actually kind of, although there might have been another guest or two who had this happen, where it sounded like you got into it big time with what was the name of the show again? It was like Wolf something?
Wolf Children. It's like really good. It's a really good anime movie. You gotta watch it if you don't remember it. Cause like, goddamn, it's so good.
And are they, and are they like, I'm just thinking of this because Dr. X and I were talking about this with anthros and stuff. Are they anthro like kids, or are they like humans? It's just, that's the name of the show.
They're humans, but they can also change into like wolf hybrid kids. They're like wolf hybrid mixed with human, but they can be humans, or it's like werewolves almost. It's like a Japanese werewolf, like cutesy, like life, cuteness, blah, girly shit.
So were you attracted to the sort of transformation aspect?
So I was more attracted to like their little body.
Okay, that's fair.
I was like, I could like, they're so small like me, I could like do things with them and it would be bad, and I'm still small, so I'm like, I can still do that and not hurt anyone, you know?
Well, that's the interesting thing about lolicons and shotokons is some of them like loli and shota because they relate to them in some way, and it seems like that's the case for you.
Yeah, I relate with like a lot of the smaller stature, and they look more like me, so I get more off to it. The problem with like, you know, normal hentais and stuff, they're too voluptuous most of the time, or like greedy with it, but like a lot of the time shota and lolicon can be like more tame with it, like, let me teach you this, let me help you with this, let me care about you. I mean, yes, there are like consensual and non-consent ones, which I also like those, but like for a different reason. But there's also like, there's the rape ones, which I'm okay with that, like there's gore ones, but like it depends on which mood I am for which kind of doujin or hentai I'm into, you know? It's like it depends on the mood, honestly, with hentai for me.
Yeah
I can get that, because I get those kinds of shifts with like certain things that I want to look at one day, or you know, and then might shift it a little bit. I get what you mean by that.
Like right now I'm totally into toddler baby nepi and toddler stuff right now, like that's like my focus right now. That's kind of why I haven't played IA in a little bit, because I'm like not into it right now. I want to get back into it so bad, but I'm like, it's just my mind's not in the place to give this the justice it needs, the read through it needs.
Now, is nepi the same thing as baby content?
Yes, nepi is baby.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I've seen that word being thrown around on ATF a bit. And I think you brought up a good point where like, I think, well, one thing I wanted to talk about on the podcast, and I will in the future as well, but like loli and shota, one great thing about it is that it can like present and like make available like in art different kinds of body types that you don't usually see in other hentai.
Yeah.
So that would include, you know, shorter characters or thinner characters, and male characters who aren't like super muscular or super masculine.
Exactly, yeah. And I've noticed that whenever you post anything with a male character that is like kind of smaller stature, not muscular, people instantly think, oh, that's Shota. But sometimes it's not even Shota, and it's just like it's just everyone sees the male physique as something strong and muscular, and that's just not true. So that's why a lot of men will like to go watch Shota stuff, straight Shota stuff, is because they see themselves in that man. And it's like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Like, not everyone's a ripped tall guy, you know? And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about loli and Shota, is that it can be affirming for some people who have certain body types, or would like to have a certain body type.
Yeah, that's right. Like, because if you're like, it's funny because Dr. X and I were talking about, I don't know if you've played the recent Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC.
No, I haven't. I don't have a Switch.
But there is like a character in it where she's very, very, like, she's very, very thin. And she's like a string bean. and like, there, but the thing is that there are girls out there that have that kind of body type, and then, you know, you go online to look up, you know, porn art of her, and you see like pretty much most of the artists give her either huge ass, huge tits, like
yes, I hate that so much. Oh, I hate when people do that. This character doesn't even have that. Like, whenever you'll go and you'll see like people giving Kana like this huge ass or this huge voluptuous boobs, and you're like, Kana is a baby, okay?
Yep.
Or Klee with a huge ass. I hate huge ass lollies. Like huge butt lollies make me pissy.
And I mean, for those of you who do like it, you know, that more power to you, that's fine.
Not my thing. It just makes me mad.
I think I really prefer when the character's body type is represented accurately in fan art. It's for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Canon accurate is definitely more fun.
Yeah, because then you can, like, imagine them in their own, like, little world in your head doing that stuff.
And we don't want to like erase the bodies of certain characters in a way too much, because like it can mean something to people.
Yeah, and I hate how people are like, "Oh, Lolly Shota, that's so bad." Okay, what? Okay, you like scat? Go away.
Yeah, well, we talked about this before on the podcast, where like people who are like into like rape porn or necroporn or
zoophilia,
guru or slash bestiality, whatever, all these various things that and they're, but they criticize Lolly and Shun. It's kind of like,
it's kind of funny.
Do you have any self-awareness?
Especially zoophiles, like, bro, your stuff's just as like hated as our stuff, like, bruh.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I'm all for, like, you know, being tolerant and not judgmental of other fetishes, is that we're all in the same boat in some ways. And just because Lolly and Shota might be at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of acceptance doesn't mean that it's okay to,
I don't know, zoophilia's getting there.
Well, I remember Patreon banned zoophilia. There was even like, sometimes even like anthro characters will get moderated on Patreon because of like, I don't know, the...
That's why I use Subscribestar, because Subscribestar is like, they don't care.
They're the best. Well, love Subscribestar.
I got accepted so fast on Subscribestar, and I can't get on OnlyFans, but a Subscribestar accepted me like a week later after I applied.
Now that is interesting, because we've had people who have tried to get on there for, you know, weeks and weeks and months and months.
Did they check their emails? Because if they don't have enough, they'll email you like 2 days after you attempt to get on there, and they'll email you and ask you for links to your profiles.
Yeah, I know they do that, but like, I think people have had that happen, and then they give them their info, and then they like never hear back from them and never get like fully approved. Like you
that's basically, weird. I got approved so fast.
But did you, is it possible that you asked somebody to like vouch for you or like email for you? Or interesting. No. It might have just been that you caught them on a day where they were checking their emails pretty carefully. Yeah. and they managed to accept you.
Possibly. I got in really fast.
I wonder if they, maybe the, for some people, emails are showing up in the spam folder or something. That's how they're missing it.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Possibly, yeah. I know I got in really fast. Same with, usually a wait list for Throne, and I didn't have to wait.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. So you must have like a lucky mark on you or something right now. Gotta keep that shit handy.
Right? I don't know, but I can't get it. Apparently I look too young. And I've tried to use my ID and they still won't accept it. I don't know.
At least on Pomp, you can take advantage of how you look.
Exactly why I started using Pomp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, eating a whole bag of mandarin oranges right now.
That's healthy for you.
My dog is like eyeing my food like crazy. Well, I'm going to the zoo tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to the zoo, he said?
Yeah, I'm trying out my wheelchair at the zoo. My viewers bought me a new wheelchair, so, and it's electric, so.
Oh, nice.
If someone ends up checking out Rainbow Kitty's stuff and they like it, you should really consider supporting her through Throne or Subscribestar, and it really goes a long way, because she's, well, obviously there's a certain amount of bravery involved doing lolly stuff.
Yeah, I'm already canceled.
So help someone who is canceled unfairly.
I was doxxed. I was doxxed for like making a joke about a toddler characters, a toddler character in a game. So I was playing Ni No Kuni. We all know that the little cat boy is adorable.
Yes.
So I said I wanted to suck his toddler pee-pee. And,
based.
I would have said based on Twitch and then got banned by the moderators, and I wouldn't care because I never use Twitch.
I got banned on Twitch. I was actually, so on Twitch I had 1,000 followers. I was really popular on there. I had gotten my start in VR chat, and then I started playing games that were safe for work, like Lolly Shota type games, you know, like where they had small, young, cute characters, because I like cute things. I'm more into like that kawaii aspect of life because I'm small, so a lot of like kids' clothes still fit me. So I can go and buy like kids' large, extra large, and I can fit in it still. A lot of adults can't.
Oh my god, wow. So you're the true small.
Yeah.
So Rainbow Kitty is she's also disabled, so you can also help someone who's going through that too, which is important.
So I'm very open with everything that goes on in my life. If you ever watch my streams, you'll know that. Like, I'm very open, I'm very upfront about everything that I do. Except for, like, you know, my name, first name, you know, last four, my social, you know, I don't say that. I've had cancer 4 times. I've had brain cancer 4 times. Chemo had ruined my bone density and my hips. And I have been diagnosed with brittle bones disease type 1 and hip dysplasia, which is, it's life, you know. So it's just, my life has been kind of hectic lately. I was put in a wheelchair. I was supposed to be in a wheelchair like a year ago, and I just didn't do it because I didn't want to. This new wheelchair that I got through my stream, my viewers, is really helping me. I actually get to go longer ways. I get to stay out of the house longer because I'm not exhausted. I don't break my knuckles as much as I used to. So The bad part about brittle bones type 1 is you're gonna break your wrist, you're gonna break your knuckles, your fingers a lot more than anything else. Your fingers, your toes, sometimes your ankles, it depends. I have 2 broken toes right now on my left foot and 1 on my right. I am recovering from a broken knuckle on my right hand right now, which makes it kind of hard to play games, but I've gotten used to the pain. I know that's a depressing thing to say. But I've gotten used to the pain. But like that's just a rundown on my medical stuff. I get really tired easily too. So I get seizures sometimes. It's just tiring sometimes. But streaming has really helped me like be able to like work. It's like my job.
Yeah, and that's great that it enables you. That pomp in streaming allows you to make a living and get supporters and, you know, get help as well. And that's one of the great things about it. And yeah, we really have to hand it to Pomp, honestly, because it's such a boon to the community, honestly.
It really is. And I guess this is like the best place I could announce my recent relationship, you know. This is the best place I could do that since I haven't really like officially announced it yet, but I was going to on stream tonight, which I still am. So I'm actually dating the owner of Pomp right now, and I met him through just, you know, by chance, you know, VR chat. We met in VR chat. I was hanging out with some other people. I think it was Arisu that my friend Arisu that helped me find them. Arisu is a real big person on Pomp where they just hop around streams and talk to people. But I met them through a Pomp like group on VR chat, and then I met another Lolly Show on VR chat, and that group helped me meet more Lolly Show lovers in VR chat. And now I do like, I get to have a lot of fun, do sexual stuff as a Lolly, which I love doing because I like to see myself as a Lolly. I met Aratu Lolly Show to VR chat. Like, there's one called Small Community, which is like a really nice. We all see ourselves as like Lolly and Shotas. It's really nice. Off. We do a lot of meetups and stuff.
And I think you said that at the time you didn't even know he was the head of Pomp.
Yeah, for a while I didn't know yet. And then I went and read. Then one day I was like doing my stream setup and I was like, wait a minute, that bitch owns this bitch.
And you know, it's great that you found someone who's like okay with the content and all the role playing and stuff. Because that's super important, and it'd be kind of interesting to talk more about this on the podcast at some point. But basically, sometimes I'll see people saying like, oh, like if you, well, you know how on ATF people ask for relationship advice or whatever. And yeah. And then people like, oh, just go to bars, bro. Just go to bars and hit up the chicks or hit the gym.
You can find love on ATF if you really want it, if you really tried.
Exactly.
Like, the thing is, I feel like, yes, ATF has the dating game thing that they have going, but I feel like they need, like, I feel like we need our own dating website. Like, if I knew how to code and stuff, I would totally make one. But I'm a dumb. I'm a dumb little baby. I'm dumb. So I could never. But like, I feel like we need something like Never Met and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that would be really good because, well, you know, I go on ATF and, well, I've talked to other people too. And I talked to all these people or seen people talk about it on ATF where they're like, they're saying, oh, I have to hide my Lolly and Shota from my wife or my husband.
You shouldn't have to hide that from someone that you love. That's part of you. That's like hiding a big part of yourself from someone that you're supposed to love.
Yeah. It's like, it's so important to have someone who accepts you and accepts the Lolly and Shota, because it really doesn't hurt anyone. It's just, you know, it's just a fantasy or whatever. So you should be able to have a partner who accepts you, and you don't have to play fucking double agent having a double life. I can't even fucking imagine that shit. God.
I did that for the longest time. That's actually why my last relationship fell. I actually got broken up with while I was doing a stream on Pomp.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Over me streaming on Pomp and being, hi, how are you? Kind of, you know, Lolly voicing it up, you know. Apparently me doing the Lolly voice and like being sexual towards people that are into Lolly Shota isn't good. But I was like, that I'm not getting hurt. For one, actually, I'm enjoying this because I have a praise kink. I'm getting a lot of love from all these, and I love it.
So he had a problem with you doing the Lolly voice and stuff.
Well, the thing was, he was all into me being a Lolly and stuff. Like, he was into my body type and all that, and like me being a Lolly. And I'm like, you're kind of being a dick. Like, you're into this stuff, but you're mad at me because I'm doing something I enjoy. Well, he said, I'm mad because you didn't tell me about it. I'm like, I did tell you about it. You said do it. You wanted me to do this. Like, you told me to start streaming again. I told you I could never stream on Twitch again. This is where I'm going to have to stream. Like, I can never stream on Twitch again. As soon as they hear my voice, they're going to be like, out of here.
I mean, the other part of it is that, well, he says you didn't tell him, but if he doesn't actually have a problem with the Lolly voice and it's not that big of a deal, you would think it's not something to break up with someone over. You know what I mean?
Nah. So it turned out that he was actually very anti against Lolly stuff. But he wasn't against it whenever it was just closet, me and him alone. He's against it openly. So since I was openly into it and I wasn't hiding behind like this screen and I was being open about it, it changed because I was being open about it, so he was going to get found.
I wonder if that was like that they were scared that they would, you know, kind of be put under ridicule or something. Because I think that sometimes it also plays a factor into why relationships may not work out. Is they, you know, they may be okay with the person that the partner that they're with. But they're just like, well, I mean, it's fine if you're into Lolly Shota stuff, but don't tell anybody else about it. Otherwise, I mean, that's gonna ruin my reputation.
But it's like I'm not gonna stop liking what I like, and I'm not gonna stop doing what I do. This is literally my livelihood. This is literally my life. This is what I do. I do voiceovers for like caption pictures. I'm actually gonna be working on I do know I'm going to try to do some stuff. I'm trying to get together a team to do stuff with IA, at least a little bit, the sex scenes at least.
Which would be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The problem is finding women that can do older women voices.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm having such a hard time, but I think I found a few women.
Oh, sweet.
That's exciting.
I have a few that might be willing to work with me. Another problem I have is I also have another project I'm going to be working on. So I'm going to be doing a fan voiceover of all the lines for the toddler in Hummingbird.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
I figured it was going to be that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing that now. Because I talk with her like this, and people seem to like this voice for her. And it makes, apparently, this voice is really good for a toddler, and it gives it the flair it needs.
It actually sounds really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Does sound like a very, very, like, young Lolly. I like it a lot.
Are you great at that?
Super good.
Everyone, that's why my hummingbird streams get a lot of views, is because I do that voice for her the whole time.
I wonder if the creator knows.
Oh, the creator does know. The creator watches my streams.
Oh, that's awesome.
The creator was watching my stream. The creator, actually, I was the first person that was able to do the baby con character on stream, because the creator let me do it. I asked for permission to do it, and the creator, yes.
So there's a toddler and a baby con, or baby character?
Yeah, the baby character is paid for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew about that.
The baby character would be the cutest character. I ain't gonna lie.
I tried to help out the creator of Hummingbird get on Subscribestar, but, you know, it's... I mean, I can understand why they don't want to, but, you know, I was just like, man, you would have a much more stable way of getting support if you were on there, as opposed to doing the whole crypto thing. Like, just...
I can see why they want to do crypto, though, especially with the game they're creating.
Right. I can understand it. It's just the only barrier that I have seen with crypto for regular people. And by regular people, I mean Lolly and Shota fans who want to support a creator, but don't necessarily, like, they don't understand crypto that well. The problem is the barrier of entry to like send crypto is kind of convoluted. It can be simple, thankfully, because I think PayPal is able to convert from like PayPal funds to crypto, which is great.
Yeah, it's come a long way. It's come a long way, that's for sure.
Yeah, because before it was like you had to, the only way that you could actually buy crypto, like with your currency, was you had to go on an exchange, which means that you'd have to give all your real ID information, and then you'd have to wait, and then you'd have to, it was such a pain.
Yeah, either that or you go to an IRL, and those suck.
Well, yeah, because they charge ridiculous fees.
Oh, God, yes.
It's insane. So I'm glad that, even though I fucking hate PayPal most of the time.
Oh my God, I'm banned from there.
I also realize that PayPal is a very, very, like, it's convenient. That's the word I'm trying to say, is it's very convenient for a lot of people to use PayPal, especially those that are outside the U.S. I noticed that most people outside the U.S., PayPal's really their only way to be able to support creators in the U.S., or really, I think, around anywhere. Like, PayPal's the only one that does it.
Yeah. I think Subscribestar's good, because Subscribestar can take it from any kind of, like, money, which is pretty crazy to me. I think it's, like, worldwide now.
Yes, you do have to use a card, though, I think, like, you have to use a debit or a credit card for it, unless I'm wrong, but because PayPal, I don't know if you know the story about this, but PayPal had used to be on Subscribestar, and PayPal, in kind of a coordinated effort, tried to kill off Subscribestar by dropping their support for them.
No!
And it almost killed them, but they persevered and basically just set up a different payment processor, which I think is the current one they use now, and they survived.
Yeah, it's, well, I think a big reason why they survived is the fact that they allow content that PayPal doesn't allow. So,
yes, that's right. And Patreon.
Like, I mean, if they had the same rules as Patreon, why would you use Subscribestar instead of Patreon? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't use Patreon for what I do.
Nope.
Because I post actual, like, real-life nudes on my Subscribestar, too. And not a lot of places let you do that, but Subscribestar lets me post whatever the fuck I want, really.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad they accepted you so quickly.
I use it as OnlyFans. I use it as, like, say, because I don't need OnlyFans. I got Subscribestar now.
That there actually is an actual OnlyFans that's Subscribestar based. It's pretty funny. It's actually its own separate thing, which I never knew about until like a year ago. It's pretty funny that there's Subscribestar.com, Subscribestar.adult, and then it's like Subscribestar. I unfortunately can't remember what it is, but that's basically their OnlyFans. It's really funny.
I just use the adult one because it I can do the same things. Plus, I also make GIFs and I do recording things, so it's just easier that way. When I start dropping the only problem I'm having with like the Hummingbird voiceover things and stuff is I need to find someone that can like help me with coding to like get it into like the game whenever I do it, like make a mod for it, you know, with it. But I'm not sure all that. Because I'm big, dumb, poopy head.
Have you talked to the creator about that yet?
I've talked to the creator about it. I have their blessing to do it, but I have to do it on my own. So that's the biggest problem with it, is I have to do it on my own. And I'm a big dummy head. So I'm looking around for that too right now.
As far as voice acting in for IA, I'd be happy to do the code for that, since I programmed the games to begin with.
Yeah.
I've already been like collaborating with modders to help them out with the code for their mod, and even make changes in the base code to make their modding dreams possible. So I'd be happy to help with that if we decide to put in the voices into the game proper or make it a mod or anything like that.
Yeah, so IA is probably going to take me a little while, since it's going to be, I still have to find older women to do stuff, so.
Yeah, there's no rush. I'm just happy that you're doing it. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I really like the game a lot. It's just, like I said, I have to take a little break now.
Yeah, no problem. You're in your nephew phase right now, or Todd Con phase.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Not going to lie, it kind of sucks because I was like really into that. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm cock blocking Bob over here.
Are you utilizing EX Hentai to find all your good ToddCon stuff?
Actually, my fans are sending me a bunch of it in my Telegram.
Oh, convenient.
I have two chats. And I'll be like, Can someone spam my chat with some ToddCon for me, please? And then they're like, I got you. And they'll send videos and like all kinds of cool stuff. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Well, Hydra, you could send her your comics, since it has ToddCon. I mean, both of your comics so far are ToddCon, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, let me do that, actually. I will send that to you.
It does make me really sad that Hummingbird isn't going to have any kind of like Shota or Fuda. I mean, someone could easily do a mod for it, though. They've already made it clear that they're okay with mods being made for the game. They've even implemented, so they recently implemented a mod creation thing.
There you go. I just sent the link to DGen Comics, that so you'll be able to see both of the comics. One I completed a while ago that was called Spoils of Victory. It's a Pokemon parody one, and then the current one that's almost done, it's actually got only one more page to go, is Small Tight Spaces.
Very aptly named.
Yep.
He goes into her small tight space.
I'm looking at this small tight space. Yep. Let me look at this. Let me give you real time. Ooh! Oh, she's so cute. Oh my god.
Like, how often do you see a black loli character in lewd comics? Like, almost never.
Never. Never. Oh, she's so cute. You did her feet correctly, too. Oh my fucking god, you didn't just make it one shade. You
nope.
Actually did correctly.
No, because it was triggering me that there were so many like even non-lolly black characters that get, or POC characters that get drawn, and then they don't have proper shading on their palms and feet.
Oh no. Oh no, impregnation. Oh no. No.
Yeah, you can enjoy that comic. probably later on tonight or whenever you get the spare chance. You'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it a lot.
Oh, I'm already looking through it.
It's almost done, like I said. You'll also probably like the next comic that I'm working on because it's going to involve Samus Aran, and it's going to involve a Lolly, a Shota, and a Todd Shota.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yep.
Okay.
Only subscribers of the Subscribestar have known that, but now people who listen to this episode will know that that's what they can look forward to for the next comic. I have been so excited to do that one. Working on... Well, it's kind of like you being able to stream, to do voices, to do captions, you have your Subscribestar. I mean... It feels good when you're able to do what you love and also get financial support for it. Like, I mean, you know, I know, like, you don't want to have, you know, finances be like the sole thing you focus on, but it certainly helps keep things, you know, comfortable and keep you stable with whatever you need to pay for, you know, and... The fact that Subscribestar exists, the fact that Pomf exists, has now given someone like you the ability to be able to do exactly what you love and benefit from it.
Yeah, I love doing what I'm doing right now. I wanna voice act. I've been approached by people saying, you should do voice acting. I want to, but it's really hard to get your name out there, especially in the Lolly Show community, for voice acting, because as soon as you put your name out there, you're getting banned on that website. But here at ATF and, you know, ATF and Pomf, I don't have that issue anymore. I can get my name out there.
But Barag as well.
I don't have a Barag yet.
You should, because that's a big time one to have.
And it's very important for Lolly and Shota, people who, the creators who want to make a living out of their stuff or want to get supporters or anything like that. It's basically Twitter for Shonen Lolly creators, but not as toxic, thankfully.
Yes, and that has been growing and growing and growing over the years.
Okay, because the biggest problem I have right now is a lot of my content cut back right now because my headset broke, and a lot of my content was VR chat based. A lot of it was VR chat based. It's pretty sad now that I have to wait until I get at least $1,000 just to get a headset. I got money for my rent, but now I need that. And it's like one thing after another happens. And then it's like, I've raised enough for this, but then this happened.
I think you have VODs on your stream, on your account on Pomft, right?
Yes. I have VODs.
So people can check those VODs out and check out her VR chat stuff. Yeah, and you know, if you like your stuff, make sure to support her. It means a lot. I consider this kind of stuff to be sex work myself, personally.
It is.
Sex work is work, is my... I absolutely believe that, and people should absolutely be able to make a living through it.
I haven't been able to get a job, like a physical job that's out of my house, because I'll go to interviews and they'll take one look at my channel and they'll be like, you're not qualified for this. And that's how people in America get around the law, is they say, oh, well, I don't like your qualification. You don't have enough qualifications.
Yeah, so sex work can empower people to make a living when they have difficulties doing other jobs for whatever reason, whether it's through discrimination or, you know, whatever reason it could be. And that's really important because, you know, everyone needs to be able to make a living.
And I can't go homeless. I got a dog now. I can't do that now. She's staring at me.
Yes, support her dog, everyone.
Yeah, buy my dog treats.
support the Doge so that she can not be interrupted when she's doing voice work or streaming.
Honestly.
Now, before we started the episode, you were talking about how you had heard through the grapevine of Pomf and the Shota Lolly community that more women were getting interested in going on to Pomf because of seeing you. Is that correct?
Yes. So I've had a few women that I've met on, I've gone to their streams once they've started, you know, doing videos and on there. And also someone has come up and told me that we've had an influx of women come onto the site since you started streaming here. They, I don't know how this is happening, blah, blah. And I've also joined streams of women and they're like, Rainbow Kitty, I watched your stream and I was like, I want to try this. And what's going on? They're like, you're like the queen of pop. I'm like, I'm really not. I don't know. Please.
Oh, well, it's a, sorry. The crown's going on you. Here it comes. Coming down.
It was a fast election.
Right. Like, damn. I've only been here for like 2 weeks. Now three. Oh my God. It's been 3 weeks.
Open and shut ballot. There we go. That's impressive, though.
I'm happy. Because, like, that means there's more women to, like, collaborate with, like, voice acting and stuff too.
We don't want, you know, Lala and Shota spaces and community to be, you know, male dominated. We want a variety of genders and all sorts of different people. It's really important that we don't have only one voice.
I'm glad that more females are feeling more confident to get on Pomp and like use their voices and not just be muted. And I get being muted. I get social anxiety. I understand that. But honestly, you're behind a screen. No one's gonna know it's you. I know I have a very unique voice, but I still do it. I know there's a lot of people that know it's me whenever they hear me. It's fine. I don't care anymore. I'm an open person. I'm open about what I like. I'm open about who I am. My roommate knows about this.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, my roommate knows about this, but my roommate also has a lolly speed. My roommate also is a lollicon, so.
Well, see, it works out.
Well, not exactly a lollicon. My roommate is into being the lolly. They're not into lollies.
Yeah, that is a distinction some people have in the community is that they're not necessarily into the character. They want to be the character or project onto the character.
Yeah, she's like that instead. And I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But she's totally okay with how I make money. She's totally okay with my job. And I'm like, thanks.
Was it like a random happy accident that she happened to be okay with that stuff?
She heard me voicing and I said some things.
And it just so happened that she was just like, well, I want to become a lolly myself.
No, well, I already knew that about her because in VR chat she would do sexual stuff in a like toddler con-esque avatar.
That's awesome that you have a roommate who's okay with it.
Right? Like, my life is looking pretty good right now, honestly.
Let's keep it going. Let's keep the luck going.
For real. I'm so tired today, though. Today was big, though, because I went to the mall and stuff, so I had a big day today. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna end up like not getting home in time, but I got home at like 3 and I was like, oh, well, now I'm bored.
And it was all thanks to that new fancy electric-powered wheelchair, right? That was gifted to you, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually is helping me out so much. I actually get to leave the house. I have to watch out which terrain I go on, because if it's, like, bricks, it hurts my hips so bad. I learned that today, because the rock is, like, very bricky.
I wonder if you can, like, I wonder if they make, like, all terrain wheelchair with like huge like puffed up wheels and stuff.
They do, but they're like thousands, like $5,000. The wheelchair I got gifted to me is $1,000. I picked out the cheapest one I could find to put on my wish list because I was not about to like try to ask for too much because I'd feel really bad because I'm a little weird like that. I don't like asking for help, but also at the same time, I do like ask. I'll ask for help, but like
I think a really important thing is for in my opinion is that you know it's okay to ask for help. You know it's okay to need help.
But sometimes it's just really scary. And
yeah, I totally get that. But I'm happy that you got a wheelchair that was an upgrade compared to your previous one.
Yeah, I had two wheelchairs before. They were both manual wheelchairs. And manual wheelchairs, they're okay. They're okay.
They're probably not so okay when you have brittle bones. But or does that actually not affect it that much? Or
it depends on the person. since I break my knuckles a lot more than most, I'm not good with the manual chairs because breaking your knuckles is really bad. It's painful. I don't know. I don't talk about it as often as I probably should because I want to advocate for like brittle bones because there's different stages. I have type 1. My friend Mario actually has like type 3, and type 3 is like bad. Like he looks like a scrunched up man. But yeah, there's different types. Mine's the low end, so I'll break my bones in my hands and feet a lot more than anything.
Hopefully not when you're gaming. That would suck.
I have not had that happen while I'm gaming yet. Mine mostly happened whenever I would, like, my fingers will get caught in something.
Oh.
While I'm willing, and it would be, like, painful, and I'd have to splint it for, like, a week. Like, I have a broken knuckle. With broken knuckles, it's a little different. You can't really do anything for that.
Just have to rest it?
You just have to rest it. You can't do anything for, like, a week. Right, mine's at the end stage of healing, so I'm able to go out again and do stuff again.
Well, you know, this is why it's great. I'm glad that certain things like more accessible games that, you know, or games that don't require maybe as much like, well, even VR chat, you know, when you think about it, VR chat is actually amazing for people who may be physically disabled because you don't have to like, you don't have to like press anything hard or like, you know, do anything with your...
It's one of my favorite games.
Yeah. That's awesome that there are things like that that are more accessible.
I liked IA because I could just press the spacebar button for a lot of like the dialogue. I like the game. The typing one. I felt like I was back in school. But
what,
I loved
about,
it.
What about the math mini game?
Oh, I didn't do that one.
Because I figured you'd be going on that one because of Sam.
I didn't do that one.
Oh, there's other ways to raise her affection, of course, which I made sure to do because if someone didn't like a certain mini game, they have other ways to.
I just bought so many gifts for everyone. The only game I played was really I played all of them once. The one I played the most was the typing, and I actually got pretty good at typing.
Oh, are you a fast typist?
No, but Bitty Cat, that bitch can type. Because I collabed with them. And that bitch can type. I cannot type good. I could only do the second tier. I could not.
Yeah, now, did you buy the swimsuit for Sam and IA already?
I do believe so, yes.
Oh, so you did get the swimsuit scenes with her and then and stuff?
I do believe so, yeah. I gotta finish that game sometime. I'm almost done. I just have all the older adults to do now. I have, like, the sister. No, I think I finished the older sister. I think I had the mom, the aunt, and the grandma left.
Have you done the group scenes with Julia and Sam as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured.
I liked those. I also did them. I did them twice. I did them on my stream, and then I did them with Bitty Cat. Me and Bitty Cat were voicing characters, and I did Julia's. And apparently, everyone liked how I did it because I gave her kind of like people liked it.
It was good.
Yeah, I did like it. It was a more in line with how I would picture Julia's voice.
Well, because she has that bratty bitchy attitude. So I was like, I gotta give her a bratty bitchy voice.
Yeah, it worked really well.
Well, when you do get around to continuing IA, that's gonna be a lot of fun because there's still some good stuff awaiting you.
Oh, okay.
As you go later on into the game, that you will probably like.
I'm excited to start IA 2 because I want to start it. I know y'all aren't finished with it yet. I know it's not completed yet, but I do want to try it out.
I think you will really like IA 2 because there's more lollies in it. There's the Shota protagonist is like even more how could I say it? Like he's technically like smaller than Nate in IA, yeah. Which was a purposeful decision.
I love it.
And I think you'll end up really enjoying it. So
and the story's been, I think the story and the routes have been made deeper in the second game as well.
Yes, I would say understatement there.
Yeah.
If y'all need any good ideas, I'll
sure. Feel free to suggest.
Yeah, I love idea flowing with people. It's like fun. I have like a lot of good ideas, but I never have anywhere to put them.
Feel free to send those our way, because we love talking about that stuff. And we also have a suggestions channel on iServer, so.
Oh, okay.
If you or anyone else listening to this would like to suggest stuff for the games, feel free.
Yep, it's IA2 wish list, and then there's a wish list discussion channel. So it's mainly so that Dr. X and I can look at the wish list stuff because it's slowed down, and then the discussion stuff is more for just everybody to just talk about stuff. And then we have a wish list for IA3 when that eventually gets made in the future.
Oh. God, y'all are just pumping out games, aren't you?
Well, it's probably still going to be a while before IA3, but yes, we do have it planned.
It's a long-term thing for us. We're in for the long haul. We're going to do this until we're old and gray, hopefully.
Hopefully y'all will need my voice.
Well, it's sounding pretty good so far. And
I just remembered, Dr. X, you know, I just thought about this. Since we are eventually planning to, this will be further down the road in IA2, but we are planning to do another Lolly character that is supposed to be this basically like this half sister to the main character. And she's going to be like the smallest Lolly out of them all. So perhaps your very adorable sounding voice may be perfect for her. If we ever decide to add voices to the IA2 characters, which we would like to do.
It's just hard to find people. I understand about that one. But as we get more female, pretty sure it'll be easier to find people too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. You know, that's really the great thing is as the community grows, so will the content creation potential and the collaboration potential. Like seeing you and Bitty Cat stream together was super cool and very exciting. And you know, that kind of stuff is what, again, it's like that whole psychological thing. It's like certain things that you do on a site lures more people into the site, and it can be like anything like collabs. It can be certain games you play. It can be certain role-playing things you do. I'm sure that once you get your new replacement headset, probably if you do some like VR chat streams on Pomp, people will go nuts over that stuff too.
Oh, people love my VR chat streams.
Although they're probably going to go crazy over it on Pomp. Because have you done any on Pomp yet? Or
yes, I have. They loved it. Yeah, I have. The problem is I broke it. I literally broke my headset yesterday.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah.
What type of headset was it?
It was the old school Vive. I got it 4 years ago, and it was my life. So I got it when I had cancer because I thought I was going to not make it. So that was just my way of getting out of the house when I was really sick. I was given like a few months to like be alive, and then we ended up finding a treatment that had helped, and I kicked its ass there at the last moment, you know?
Glad you did.
Good, you used your... You channeled your Lolly power and just said, fuck you, cancer, fuck you.
for real. And now I just don't give a fuck. I'm gonna live my life and do what I want.
Hell yes.
Yep, that's what you should do. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's interesting is, like, on the women in the community topic is that probably, like, maybe half of the guests we've had on so far have been women. Probably maybe more than half.
That's good.
You also had a trans dude on too, so it's great having a, you know, variety of different voices talking about this stuff.
Yep,
and it's really good.
Also, I remember we were talking about earlier about in Hydra's comic that the black Lolly had lighter palms and the underside of her feet, and of course we did that in the IA2 as well because we have a couple black characters in it.
Oh, I love that! Yes. Oh my god, black characters in a loli show game.
We have a we have a black loli, and we also have a well, she's supposed to be Indian as well, so it's like an Indian loli.
Love that.
Yeah, so we have a black loli, and also her mother is in the game too. So,
yep.
So you can do stuff with both of them. So that's really fun.
Yeah, people are eagerly anticipating the day when the Oreo scenes are going to happen. With the main character and the black loli and her mom.
I love that.
It'd be really interesting if one day, like a female creator makes like a treat show game, but like made from the perspective of the woman.
Oh, I would love it.
And I've talked to some women before, and they said that they want to see that happen one day.
That would be so fun. I would play it.
Yeah, and you know, with every woman who enters the community and feels safe, which is really important, that the chance of that increases. So it's another reason why we want to make space welcoming for everyone. Well, it was great having you on, Rainbow Kitty.
Now, if people want to find you either on Pomf or your different socials, where can they go? We'll be putting up your links in the actual episode so they can see it, but where can they find where you stream and your Subscribestar and things like that?
So I have a Discord server that's open to like everyone. That's literally all I have. That plus Pomf, my Subscribestar, and my Throne. That's the only websites I really have. I have a Telegram, but that's for more like people that I know that have been in my community long enough to like get that, because it's this place where we post like loli show content, and I want to make sure it's a safe space for people to like be themselves.
Nice.
So it's a little more safe, so it's a little more closed in, a little more say you're from Pomf and usually you'll get in.
yeah you don't accidentally stumble upon Pomf from like Twitter or a Twitter thread, or at least I don't think you do, Nermi.
I mean, I accidentally stumbled upon Pomf. That was because I was looking for stuff.
Yeah, you were looking for it. I'm talking about like people who are just like, what? I didn't know this existed. It's like they don't usually, you don't find it like that way. You have to actively be looking for it.
Yeah, which just can be a bad and a good thing.
What I love is like when the communities like get closer together and stop being so isolated, so that way people know about all the different sites that that they can be in, that makes, you know, Shonen Loli and people who like it more accessible. So I always like to spread the word of the different sites, because a lot of times people don't even know that Pomf exists or Barag exists or ATF, etc.
Athe.
Oh yeah, Athe is another one.
What?
Athe, like A-E-T-H-Y.
It's an instance in the Fediverse, so it's a Mastodon thing, where you can post any kind of fictional content. So that's a great thing.
Cool.
So that includes Loli and Shota.
Oh, that's cool.
These sites are becoming more popular, not less, so that's one of the big reasons why Hydro and I are very optimistic about the future, is that the community is getting bigger, honestly. It's not getting smaller.
Oh yeah, no, we've grown.
Yeah, and we're gonna continue growing, damn it.
yep.
Yeah, I hope.
And the proof of the popularity of like loli characters is like, I mean, look at like the big VTubers like Gargura. I mean, she's got millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
There's clearly a fucking market. Like, you can tell.
Yeah, I wish I could be a mainstream. Like, that wouldn't work out ever.
Well, I mean, that may happen one day.
Yeah.
In the future, possibly.
That's what Dr. X and I believe it will.
Yes, I do think that. And in the meantime, you can continue growing on Pomf and having people support you. Well, it was great having you on, and you're welcome to be on the podcast anytime again if you want.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was awesome to have you.
I got to talk about my life.